We'll talk a little restaurant news today, including the sale of a local favorite in East Louisville. That's next on the Access Louisville podcast. Thanks for joining us. My name is David Mann, and joining me today are Shea Van Hoy.
Hey there.
Michael L. Jones.
How you doing out there?
And Piper Hansen.
Hello.
Access Louisville is a weekly podcast from Louisville Business First. Each week we bring you the latest news along with plenty of sharp opinions about what's happening here in Louisville, Kentucky. Been a while since we talked some restaurants, Michael, but you've got some big ones this week as far as stories. Tell us about Anoush Bistro being sold. Who's buying it?
David Danielson, who some people may remember from Churchill Downs. He used to be the head chef there. And Anoush Sherratt, who is probably one of the seminal figures in fine dining in Louisville. Mm-hmm. He opened like Sherratt's back in the 80s, I think. Mm-hmm. And he had Noosh Nosh, but he's been kind of lightening his load for a while. I'd written last year that he sold the Noosh Nosh, and so now he sold Anoush's Bistro, and it was effective April 1st, so some people actually didn't believe it.
They thought
it was
April
Fool's joke.
Well, you know, and you kind of answered my next question there, so I'll ask you a different one. Well, first of all, did Anoush call you from a beach, or were you just joking about that?
No, he was on vacation.
That's funny.
What had happened was I saw a picture of Dave and Anoush, and it said something about Anoush retiring.
Yeah.
And so I had assumed, like, you know, Dave's like, he hired Dave. Mm-hmm. And so I sent a text to Anoush's wife, Paula, and she called me and was like, oh, Anoush is here. And he was just sitting on the beach, chilling out. And he said, you know, this is going to be my life from now on. Well, I'm going to be traveling, hanging out with people.
That's good. Good for Anoush. And you mentioned he has been kind of a longtime figure in the local restaurant scene. I guess as far as plans for the restaurant, David is keeping it open. And then maybe some menu changes next summer, right?
Yeah. Well, it's closed this week, and it's going to reopen on April 9th. And then he's going to keep everything the same employees and everything, but until, the fall, until the end of summer. And then there might be a new name and some other changes. Mm-hmm. But he had said, you know, this has been kind of like a dream of his to have kind of a small chef-driven restaurant, and Noosh knew that. Mm-hmm. And so they've been friends for a while.
Yeah.
Working on different projects together.
Yeah.
So this is still very much a work in progress, but it's kind of the shows you how we get our stories. Just
you see a
picture
you send
online
a text,
and saying, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, and it turned out to be a good scoop too. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see what he does with that restaurant in the future. Not quite a chef driven restaurant here, but Popeyes, the fried chicken joint, is opening a new location. Where are they going?
They're going on right. It's near the Westin Kroger, near 26th and Broadway, and it's not far from the new Westin Opportunity Campus. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's so many chicken places there. You would think a Popeyes opening wouldn't be that big a deal, but I saw people comment on my story saying, this is a game changer. Like, really?
You know, with Popeyes, I've had it maybe twice. And the problem is it's too far away for me to, like, pick it up on the way home.
Yeah.
But it was good the couple of times I had it.
Yeah, so. It's going into a former Burger King site they had torn down last year.
Yeah.
And it's a Houston-based company that is a big franchisee of Popeyes is going to be bringing it here. And we, I tried to contact their local person. Actually, this guy is moving to Louisville from Houston to run their operations in Kentucky. So maybe they have more plans, but he's from Ace Brands Holding LLC.
Yeah,
is the company.
Yeah, they need more locations around here. Like I know there's a few, but they're just not in my orbit.
So. Yeah. Most of them seem to be out in the suburbs. I know there's one on Dixie Highway.
Yeah, one on Goldsmith, I think, Bardstown Road, Goldsmith.
Yeah, but you remember a few years ago when the Popeyes had the chicken sandwiches and people lost their mind. The chicken sandwich wars.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I didn't. I thought that was someplace else for some reason.
Yeah, it was the chicken sandwich wars.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
they teach that in history classes yet.
No.
Yeah.
It's there with the Punic War.
Yeah. Exactly what I expected the reference on the podcast today, the Punic Wars.
Yeah. We always land at the Punic War.
Yeah.
What were you about to say?
I don't know now.
How do you follow that?
Oh, Popeyes. So... I like Popeyes quite a bit, and two of the best things about Popeyes are their Mardi Gras mustard sauce and their sweet heat sauce. Both are thumbs up.
Yeah. I can't remember what sauce I had. I think I might have had bone-in chicken. Do they have bone-in chicken?
Yeah.
I always go for bone-in if it's available. All right. But I think I'm rare there. I think everybody else just wants chicken strips.
Yeah.
All right. Shay, you're next on the list here with, speaking of chickens, Wild Eggs.
Yes.
So Wild Eggs is expanding. Where are they going?
Yeah, they are. It's a Louisville-based small chain. I think there are 15 currently open in a few states, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio. And last year, Michael actually talked to the CEO about expanding into a few other states, but the expansion that they announced this week is in Kentucky, where they're already you have a presence. Four new locations planned for Lexington around the city. Franchisees, I think, been with them for 10 or 11 years running stores. Signed a deal to open those four, so those are on the way over the next few years, I think. So they'll be growing. When you have 15 stores, you're adding four. That's pretty big bump for now. And then I know they had mentioned Alabama was another state they were looking at, but didn't hear anything about that this week.
And one of their original founders just recently came back to the fold, J.D. Rothwick.
Interesting. He then went Muscle and Burger.
Oh, had he? Okay, yeah. That's interesting. Did he go from Wild Eggs to Muscle and Burger and then back?
I'm not sure if it was directly back, but
It seems like Wild Eggs came out maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. And then there was just an explosion of like great breakfast places right around the same time. So I don't want to say they got lost in the shuffle, but it was definitely like, oh, Wild Eggs, I've had that. There's all these new breakfast places.
Yeah.
But I'll give a shout out to Wild Eggs. I was going to ask you guys favorite local breakfast dishes, and mine is from Wild Eggs. They have a biscuits and gravy platter that has two different kinds of sausage gravy on it. I think it's just delicious, and I love the variety of that. Only complaint would be like more, just give me more. Do you got anything, Shay, or does anybody else want to weigh in on favorite breakfast dishes?
At Wild Eggs, their corned beef hasher is really good. That's I haven't been there in a while, but that's what I get there. I like any sort of scramble. So like just throw eggs, hash browns together. And I'm a big, this is maybe unusual, but like on those eggs and hash browns, I like A1 sauce. So like I like just totally like big bowl of like eggs and hash browns with A1 sauce on it. So, but Highland Mornings near my house. And probably my favorite breakfast spot in Louisville is Con Huevos though.
Yeah, that's a great one. I love Con Huevos.
That's a great one. I go to Eggs over Frankfurt a lot.
Yeah.
It's close to the bookstore. It's there. Carmichael's. And I love the location. So I end up doing there. And I usually just get the classic breakfast there.
Yeah. I can't hear Eggs Over Frankfurt without thinking of the song Bombs Over Baghdad. So that, there you go, everybody. There you go.
All right, more war talk.
War, yeah. Punic wars, and now this.
All right, Piper, you got anything on this one?
The fried green tomatoes at Biscuit Belly are really, really good.
Yeah.
And at Day's Coffee on Bardstown Road, they have almond croissants, but you have to get there like right when they open if you want one, because every time I've gone in there like past 8 a.m. on the weekends, they're gone.
They sell out quick.
Yeah. I don't know where they get them from, because I don't think that they make them in there, but those are like my two, my two top.
Yeah. I love fried green tomatoes. They're always a little tangy. So.
Yep.
All right. Let's see here. A few more little restaurant stories for us, Michael. Another chicken place. Chick-fil-A got a new location. Where are they going?
Oh, yes, they're going to Spring Station. They're a First Watch that's right off Dutchman's Lane. And the owner is a veteran, and he's a Louisville native. And so he had tried corporate life, didn't work out, and he decided to look for a business franchise. And Chick-fil-A is only $10,000 initial setup.
Huh,
I found
that's
when
surprising.
I was working on the story. So
yeah.
I think they take a little bit more of the profits. Like they're a little more involved than the other franchise companies.
They seem like they are. I was actually surprised it was a franchised operation. Like I thought they would own more of their restaurants, because it seems like they have such a uniform thing everywhere you go. All right. And then the last one, when you wrote this headline, I was like, I'll see about that, Michael. It's kind of subjective. But then I read the story and I was like, yep, you were right. So your headline was Highland Fish Market sells to unlikely new owners. And I was like, unlikely? And then I read the story. I was like, yep, pretty unlikely. So tell us about that one.
Yeah. And these were two great women, Sarah Hart and Ashley Bedingfield. So their husbands worked together and were looking for business opportunities. So they bought this fish market, but they're too busy to run it. So they had assumed like, oh, our wives could oversee or hire people, our wives oversee it. And so Bedingfield is a former speech pathologist, and Hart was administrator at JCPS.
Right.
So they know nothing about retail, about fish or anything. And so Hart in the story said that they threw her in the deep end of the pool, and it wasn't until like November that they gave her floaties. And the owner's son, the founder of the fish market, had stayed on to help them. And it's called Highland Fish Market, is actually in Middletown, by the way. You know, it started out in the Highlands, but no longer there. And so, and the Hart's son works there, and they have an employee named Glenn. So these women aren't actually cutting the fish and doing all that, but they do take turns working there a couple days a week. But their big contribution has been getting it out on social media and handling marketing and everything. But, you know, when you go to talk to the owners of a fish market, you don't expect to see
a school administrator and a speech pathologist. So I was like, yeah, that was a good story. And it's funny just like how they have just tried to learn the business since they got it. So good story there. All right. Well, we'll switch gears here. We'll talk a little bit about the upcoming solar eclipse. Piper, you've been studying the eclipse. You've got the coordinates down of where this thing's going, but you were talking about the economics of the eclipse in this story. So what did you learn? I haven't actually read it yet. So
I was Googling a bunch of different economic studies, especially looking at the eclipse that happened in 2017, since that had totality in Kentucky. But there's going to be 12 million people traveling to the path of totality, not just to Indiana, but through, you know, Texas and Ohio and Illinois and Vermont and all of the states over that way. There's going to be lots of people moving around trying to get a better look. Louisville is going to have about a 99% totality again. So in 2017, that's about, you could still see it. It wasn't like completely dark, but you could still see it sort of like pass over the sun.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it's going to be again in Louisville. But about an hour north is when you get into the totality zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked with some hotels and some Southern Indiana tourism folks, and their hotels are pretty full already.
Yeah.
Their hotels were pretty full in 2017 when, you know, getting to totality was like 3 hours away from a car.
Yeah.
And so now that it's a little bit closer, they're expecting lots more folks, and there's a lot of different local events planned with, you know, all of the eclipse pun related foods and things like that, like Milky Way candies and moon pies and Capri Suns and, you know, any joke that you can make, it's been made.
And we've been making them today.
Oh, yeah, we've been making them today.
Total Eclipse of Indiana was one that Allison threw out.
Yeah.
Mine was the Sunny Side Bureau. Could be the Shady Side Bureau.
Yeah.
Well, you had one on your story, right?
Yeah, it's going where the sun don't shine.
Yes.
So,
unless you sad, that's the headline.
Yeah. So, well, I put this question on here kind of for you because you told me about what you did during the last eclipse during 2017. And so I thought, well, what did everybody else do? How did everybody spend the last eclipse? Which I knew that it was recently. I couldn't remember what year, but 2017. Piper, you had a funny story. You had stayed home.
But. Yeah, my younger brother and I, because I was in high school at the time. I think I was like a sophomore or maybe a freshman maybe. But
me too.
Yeah. Universal experience. But we cut out of school because it was like allowed, and of course I'm not going to go to school.
For science.
Right, yeah. It was for science, and my brother and I think were playing video games through the whole thing.
Do you remember what game I wanted?
I don't remember what game we were playing. It was probably some sort of high stakes Mario Kart game that we had created. But I don't remember. I think I remember like maybe going outside and seeing like the last little bit of it and being like, oh man. But we got the protective glasses and everything, so I want to see it this time. Whole thing.
Michael, did you do anything special for the last one?
I don't think so. I think I just stayed home. I might have just gone out on the porch to when it actually happened.
Shade,
I watched it from the break room of our former office in Meininger Tower, so that would have been like my second year at Business First. I didn't even go outside.
I was there too. I remember being alone, but I guess you were there. So.
I was in the break room, but I remember being alone. I think most people went outside.
Weird. Okay, maybe me and you were the only
maybe
people.
I couldn't see it because of the eclipse.
Exactly. Maybe you were in the break room and I was somewhere else, but I just remember like no one being there.
I don't know. Maybe David Bingham stood between us and it was a David eclipse of the David. I don't know. And I was like, this looks like not much. And then I was like, I want to go back to work. But I think, so what I've been reading on, Twitter and stuff is that people are like 99.5% is lame. Like you need, you're going to think it's not cool unless you're in totality, which is what Allison has told us, our coworker, because she went to Hopkinsville last year, in 2017, and said to see this, and now she's going to, to see it in the totality, so as well. So I guess maybe that's why I was like, meh, because it wasn't, the real deal, the whole deal, I guess.
Yeah, but you're going this year. We'll switch to the next question. You're gonna go.
I'm going to the moon. Actually, I'm gonna watch it from there. I am.
That's better than the sun.
I have this isn't really my thing. Like, I just don't get that pumped up about this sort of stuff. But I feel like a fool if I, knowing that my mom and stepdad live in Mitchell, Indiana, which is pretty much in the path of totality. And so I knew that they'd be jazzed if I came up and watched it with them, and so I'm going up there, have a place to stay, can work from there on Monday and kind of do a first per Allison and I are talking about doing sort of a first person story since she'll be like 7 miles away from me in Lawrence County. So it should be a lot of fun. My mom's making coney dogs and building a fire, apparently. I don't know.
That sounds awesome.
So
she's like, should I be there now?
Yeah, you guys, we should all like go to my mom's house and watch. And then maybe we couldn't get back, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. You will get stuck in traffic if you try to just drive up there. So you better
I was wondering how we're going to put a paper out that day, because I'm going to be out too, because I'm going to Salem, Indiana.
Oh, are you?
Oh, I didn't know.
To watch it, yeah.
That's where my mom was born.
Are you staying in Salem? Or?
Yeah, I'm going Sunday night. We have friends who live there. They have a farm. So we're going to go camp out Sunday night. And hopefully sometime afterwards get back home, because I'm expecting the traffic to be horrible.
That was one of the other things, is like everybody is preparing. Well, I read some, you know, NDOT report that was like, we're planning to reroute some folks just to make sure that everybody gets to where they need to be. Mm-hmm. There was a, and I told Shay about this, there was a warning or like a precaution to watch out for horse-drawn buggies in Indiana.
Yes.
Which is very in Indiana. Precaution.
Yeah. Yeah. Orange County specifically. Yeah. Growing up there, it's a lot of Amish. It's funny, like, you know, behind the curtain of LBF, Michael's like, I'm off Monday, and I just looked at our days off schedule. I'm like, yeah, Michael's off Monday. I am not off, but I will
Working in the lame 99% zone.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be interesting to get there.
It'll look like a passing cloud or something.
It's supposed to be cloudy, I think, on Monday. So it's we'll see what happens.
I add this. Allison said she went to Hopkinsville last year, and it took her 14 hours to get home from Hopkinsville because of the traffic. If you're going to go, have a place to stay, because you don't want to get stuck in that traffic. So,
yeah, I was like, we were talking about this, too, in the newsroom. Like, if Waze didn't exist, like, I know all the back roads to get to my hometown, but like, so does everyone, because it'll take the people on the path of least resistance. I have no idea if I'm coming back Monday afternoon or waiting or what, but hey, that's the beauty of the internet and being able to work from anywhere.
You should just pull up your address on your phone and then, like, you know, give it an hour, see how it is, give it another hour and then till it looks feasible. So all right, well, I think that is all we have for you this week. We had a long show last week, I guess we'll call this one a short one. Before we go, let's go around the room, and you guys can share your social media handles, where people can find you on social. Shay, I'll start with you.
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn under my name, and also Twitter/X. And I haven't posted much lately, but I'm on Blue Sky as well under Shay Van Hoy.
All right, Michael, how about you?
I'm on LinkedIn under my name, Michael Jones, and I'm on X at BF Lou Michael.
All right, Piper.
I'm also on LinkedIn under my name, but my name is Piper Hansen. And I'm on X under Piper J. Hansen.
All right, and you can find me on LinkedIn as well under my real name, David A. Mann. If you like this podcast, you can find it on popular services such as Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and more. Thank you very much, Shay, Michael, and Piper. Thank you guys for listening to us at home, and we'll see you next time.